Thank you, Miss Linda. What a blessing. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40 in the Word of God. Amen. It is Roundup Sunday, and I want to thank everybody who's come today. And I'm going to put this hat away if I could. I don't mind preaching in it. I've done that before. We had a cowboy camp at the church I grew up at, and so we do that often there on the stage. But I don't feel like I'm outside on the cowboy stage. Amen. In church today. Thank you for being here. Let me just say this. Thank you to the sheriff, his wife, for being here with us, and all of the visitors that came. And I'll just say this, that I grew up in a place where I know many of you think about Maryland as being Baltimore and concrete and streets of those things, but I grew up on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and it's just farms and fields. And I grew up with a preacher who loved horses, and still kind of puts on every year a big, what they call plow days. And many of you don't think about this, but there's still plowing competitions that go on, and they take out the old draft horses and they plow through the field, and they get written up marks and get points. Amen. It's kind of like playing a football game, except for with horses and a plow. Amen. And so they still do that, but every summer they still saddle up the horses, and we have camp. We teach kids to ride horses and preach Jesus to them. And so what a blessing it is to have a little bit of history. And again, folks, I think one of the biggest problems with America today is that we're too far from the farm. You know, it's hard to be thinking all crazy kind of thoughts about, the immoral thoughts of a man can be something different than a man, and a woman can be something different than a woman, and all the thoughts. If you grew up on the farm, you know that stuff ain't so. Amen. And then, you know, I'm just going to tell you, it's one of those things where we've gotten so far away that we've gone crazy a little bit. And those same folks think that if we just killed off all the cows, global warming would go away. You know? That they want you to eat more hamburger. Now, I want to eat steak, but not for the reason they want to eat. They want us to eat steak, amen? And so all kinds of crazy things. And folks, a lot of those things have bled into the election. And I'm just going to tell you that you ought to vote the Bible. And if you vote the Bible, it's not hard to pick a candidate. It isn't hard, amen? Because one of them stands for life, and one of them don't. Amen. And you say, preacher, you're trying to tell us how to vote. No. This pulpit is a place for everybody to come and get counsel from the Word of God. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you that, you know, if you don't think politics affects the church, then go back in your mind just a little ways to COVID. Amen. And I'm thankful that our county, again, we've had so many blessings of God, and not just our county and things that's happened, but again, our state. What a great governor we have. Amen. Folks, you know, you got to keep voting in good ones. Sane ones. Amen. Ones that are moral. In the Bible, in Isaiah, I hope you found it. It is in the Old Testament. It's almost right in the middle of the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah is one of these major prophets of the Old Testament. He's not a prophet. He's predicting a lot of things that will happen, but there's still a space of time and grace that if God's people would have turned back to God, there was enough time. But by the time we get to Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, and he's brokenhearted because it's too late. God's telling him it's too late to turn back now. And so we find ourselves in this time period, and I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of preachers that had preached it's too late to turn back. And I'll just be as straight as I can be for our country. It may be nationally too late to turn back and to turn to God and to see the greatest revival we've ever seen, but I know that God can do anything. And I guarantee you this, that we, again, you will reap what you sow. That is a Bible truth. And if we turn back to God nationally, we have a merciful, loving, and gracious God. And I'm telling you, if we really turn to Him in fervor and in faithfulness to Him, I believe He would do something with our nation that would be a picture to the rest of the world of what God could do by restoring a nation and His people. But I know this, that I can't make everybody turn. I can't engineer That all I can do is preach, and all you can do is personally decide what you're going to do with your heart and life. And even if we don't have a national, nationwide, or even in our county, a revival of what we're doing and who we are morally, we can have one personally. And even though we may not see politically and nationally the benefits or blessings of that, you can see the blessings of God personally if you turn back to God and do it God's way and do it, again, just if I could say this, mount up with Him. The title of the message today is Mount Up with the Savior. Mount up with the Savior. The term mount up in the definition of it in the dictionary is going to be to gradually increase. I don't know how many of you or when the last time it was that you mounted up on a horse. All right? But the older I get, the harder it is. And the taller the horse is, when I was young, my preacher, that he's 86 years old now, that I grew up under, same age as Pastor Carter, sorry, preacher. Then I told everybody your age there. But anyway, they bring the horse out and he still wants to load up. Now, when he was younger, they'd pull this step out. They got these plastic steps that are made for loading up on horse. And they dragged that out. And when he was about 70, he'd tell them, put that thing away. I'm not using that. I can still get on here. Now he's like, bring that step over here. What are you doing? Bring that step over here. Let me get on here. I'm not trying to climb up there. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, when you mount up, I don't know how many of you have watched your last Western or when the last time that you mounted up. And I'm not going to mount up on this because this is the skinniest horse I've ever been around. And he ain't going to look like much, does he? Amen. But I mean, if I was to mount up and to get on this saddle, and I'm just going to tell you, when we say mount up, we don't think of bicycles. We don't think of all these other things. We think about mounting up on a horse. And folks, the Bible has much to say about horses. But here in the chapter, it's going to say something that is amazing to me. It tells the people of God to mount up with wings like eagles. The great blessing of eagles, and I won't preach on them today, but I'll just say this, that an eagle, if we were able to trust God enough and to lean on Him enough, that an eagle most of the time flies above the circumstances of everything going on. When a bad storm comes, instead of riding out the storm, he rises above the storm and rides it out. And for all of us, we've got to come to the place where we understand that we have a God who is the creator God, who created everything, including us, and that he gives us the ability and the strength. It doesn't come from us, it comes from him. And when we're in the storms of this life, in the trials of, the worst spot that we could ever be in, we have a God who says, mount up with me. Listen, I don't know about you today, but I'm just going to tell you, if I was going to join an old Western band of riders, who would you want to join? I'd want to join somebody with the most power. Amen. The one with the most influence. The one that I would know could never fail and would never lose a battle. Never steer me wrong. And the Bible says, mount up. I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to encourage you through the message to mount up with the Savior. If you're here today and you've never mounted up with Him, if you're not a part of His band, folks, today, mount up in faith with the Savior. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin today reading the Scripture. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you do what I cannot do, that, Lord, you do the work. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would just do and go into hearts and do the work that only you can do of drawing men to Jesus Christ. If folks are here today and they don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. If folks are here today and they're in a place of indecision, Lord, I pray you'd draw them to a place of faith to mount up and to ride with you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do through the service. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in chapter 40 and verse number 1, I cannot help. I know that many of you know that the verse I kind of quoted or half quoted there is at the end of chapter 40, but I couldn't read this chapter without reading the first few verses. Look at it with me. In this age and before the election, what do we all need? We need the Word of God to tell us to be comforted. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, and her warfare is that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, folks, I don't know if you can look into the news, and if I felt like God was wanting me to preach on what's going on in Israel today, that's a pretty good verse to read. And I'm just going to tell you, we're entering in and we're facing a time of tribulation that Israel's going to get twice of what she gave God. It's the apple of his eye, but God's going to pour out his judgment on the world. And folks, I'm just glad that I've mounted up with Jesus Christ and I'm not going to be here to ride through the tribulation period with the world and with Israel and with the Antichrist. I'm going out with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to meet him in the clouds. I'm going to mount up with wings as eagles. Look at what he says here. I want you to see. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Folks, we're still supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're supposed to be praying for them. I'm thankful that we're allied with them. And folks, I'm just going to say we ought to vote right so we stay lined up with Israel. He says, the voice in verse 3 of him that crieth in the wilderness is talking about John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a way, highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see. Look at this. It together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There's coming a day, folks, as Jesus returns in his second coming, that everybody on planet Earth is going to realize that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody's going to know that from the child and to the adult, everybody, no matter what their nationality or language that they speak, every one of them are going to know that Jesus is Lord, and they're going to confess that to the glory of the Father. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, why don't you recognize it before that day comes? Why don't you mount up with him? Why don't you realize who he is before you come to a place where you see him and the saints? We preached this not too long ago, that you see the sky rolled up like a scroll. See him riding back with a vesture dipped in blood. And he rides back in glory and power, and puts down the armies of the world that have come up against Israel. And he sets himself up in power. That day's coming. And it doesn't look like, when we look on the world scene, that it's all that far off in the future. But today is the day of salvation, is what the scripture says. And you can choose to mount up with the Savior today by just, again, I'll just say it plainly. Number one, if you're taking notes or you're wanting to this morning, mount up with the Savior on the winning side. Do you know that one of the things that's hard a lot of times is when you're getting picked on a team or you're looking for which side to choose? In any election and everything, everybody's worried about who's going to win or trying to predict who's going to win this thing. Everybody's looking for who has strengths and who has weaknesses and where they have. Can I just tell you, it isn't hard to figure out who's going to win this battle, because he's already won. He laid down his life for you, and when everybody thought that he was dead, he rose up the third day in power, and again rose up in victory. And listen, he sat down on the right hand of the Father after he made a blood atonement for my sin and your sin. That means just because he rose up in victory didn't mean the job was done. He didn't want to be a winner with he wouldn't be the only person on his team. He rose up and he made a blood atonement for you and me, and then invited all. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. made. He said, whosoever will may come. We've got a God who didn't just try to win a game and sit down and say, look what I did. He said, come on and get on my side. Mount up with me and ride to victory. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, I mounted up a long time ago as a young teenager with Jesus Christ, and I've enjoyed the ride. The ride's not over. There's still some things ahead, and the road's not always been comfortable. Some of it's been rough. But I never doubted where the winning side was. I knew I mounted up on the winning side. And listen, if you're here and you are saved and you're on your way to heaven, do you know you're on the winning side today? If you came in and you don't know which side you're on, or you don't know what side to choose, you've come to the good, right place. We'd like to take the Bible and show you exactly how you can know for sure that you're on the winning side. To choose the winning Savior. Do you know that this whole idea, and for most of us, we don't get it, but what we miss is all of eternity, everything's boiling down to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist. The great deceiver. How about this? He's a great apostle. I mean, he's just trying to do everything so that you'll think that he's the Christ. He's going to do everything to look just like Jesus, to talk just like Jesus, to be just like a winner, but he's going to come just short of it. But one day, listen, folks, the world, all the world's going to see, and that's what the scripture tells us. Now, I want you to turn later in the chapter with me. Into verse 25, if you have to turn the page, you can, but I want you to see, and this is going to get right down where the rubber meets the road for you. I want you to see here, it says, God is trying to, throughout the chapter, and I encourage you to go back and read it in its full context. In context, Isaiah is trying to get, as I said before, Israel to turn back to God. But in our day, we realize that we, as God's people, God wants us as people can turn, whosoever will. That means it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done in the past, that Jesus came to pay for everyone's sin, and he rose again in power to show you that he has paid it all, that all to him we owe, and that if we just simply trust in him, put our faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, that we'll be on the winning side. We can mount up in faith with Jesus Christ. Look at what he says in verse 25. He tries to help us understand, hey, Who else could be the winning side? Look at verse 25. To whom then will we liken me? This is God speaking. Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. By the way, I don't know if you understand this, but in those two verses, God says, who else is like me? The Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth, creation, everything that we could say, says, who are you going to liken unto me? It's not a good comparison to even try to put the devil on his level. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you had to choose between gangs, why would you choose the evil side? I'm just going to tell you, I grew up in a household that, again, wasn't perfect, but raised me in church, and I've never wanted to wear anything but the white hat. All of y'all that came in here with black hats on, what are you doing? Now, I'm not after you trying to be mean to you today. I'm kidding around a little bit, but I'm just going to tell you. You know, I mean, I see kids that want to be the bad side. They look at all these things and they want to identify with something that's not the winning side or the right side. They want to identify with the wrong side. Folks, I don't know about you, but I always have wanted to choose the winning side. And it's not because of just how I was raised, but why would you pick the losing side? I've had people tell me that have mounted up on the wrong side of this thing, I'm just going to go to hell and have a party. That's going to be the hottest party you ever been at. It's not going to be one that's comfortable. You say, well, that's my kind of jam. So your jam is gnashing of teeth and screaming, constant torment. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's no party going to happen in hell. It's going to be a place for the loser that chose the wrong band to ride with. And they'll think about the day that they heard the gospel preached unto him. And they had an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The Bible talks about a worm. And listen, I believe, I've heard preachers preach since I was a boy, there's going to be worms crawling all over you. Listen, because my preacher preached that, I believe it. The Bible says it. But you know that word in the 1828 dictionary also is defined as a memory going over and over and over again in your mind. And if you don't think that, listen, just because all of the physical things and hate, listen, it's a spiritual torment. And those that have rejected Jesus Christ will be tormented day after day after day with the opportunity that they had to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and the moment that they chose the wrong one to mount up with. It's one thing to regret a bad decision, but why would you want to regret one for eternity? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've been preaching on Wednesday night out of the book of Hebrews, and I'm not even going to get where I want to go today, but I just want to preach to you and help you understand Jesus is the only way. Why would you want to mount up with some failed attempt to coup the God of heaven and line up with the devil? He's already lost once. And Jesus, listen, the only one that, listen, he tried to get back at God by going after the man that God loved. And listen, we didn't, listen, instead of lining up with God, we lined up with ourselves and thought we were powerful enough, and we took a side and made a choice and we fell into sin. But then the God of heaven loved us so much that he decided to mount up and change. Listen, he took on the form of a man, the Bible says. And so he could be like us. So he could be in our form and lay down his life. And that man, listen, the blood of God and the blood of a man could be make an atonement for all man's sin. The things that were lost in the fall of man, he took back through the victory as he came back and rode down. Listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you want to talk about going into the pit. Jesus rode into the pit and took the keys of death and hell and rode out. Death couldn't hold him back. He rode out and rode on up, went back to the brethren and called all of us and penned it down in the scripture for us that whosoever will may mount up and come with me by calling upon his name. You know, simple faith changes everything. I want you to see in the scripture, he says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. He tells us to lift up our eyes, but look down with me to verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, he's speaking to Israel, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my, look at what he says, my judgment is passed over from my God. You know, anybody that wouldn't mount up with Jesus is going to, you know, there's a story that goes by that you can get to heaven however you want to. You can ride with any band you want to and you'll get there. That's false. Can I just tell you, just because God is gracious doesn't mean that judgment day ain't coming. Just because he ain't showed up yet, just because your sin hadn't been called forth and stand before the righteous judge and you have to answer for that day, listen, it's coming, folks. There's folks telling everybody that a loving God would never send anybody to hell. They obviously don't read or believe the Bible because God never wanted one person to go to hell. He left heaven, was made in our likeness, rode down and took hell for us, and then rose in victory so that nobody ever had to go there. But there are people that still choose the losing side. They won't mount up with Jesus Christ and be saved by faith and putting their faith in him. You know why? Because they think, oh, judgment's passed. Oh, judgment day will never come. Listen to me. The sheriff's here, and if we got him up to testify, how many crooked criminals thought they got away with it? And then they were just one day away from getting caught. Now, we've all heard the stories of the stupid criminals. All right, all the ones that just did, I mean, they don't even make sense. You'd think that they at least you'd have got away with a little bit farther than you did. But folks, anybody that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and would turn away from that, hey, you're a stupid sinner if you won't get saved. You say, preacher, you're mean. No, I'm just trying to get your attention. And if you don't think I did, you go on and ride with the wrong band and end up in heaven. And you know what you'll hear for eternity? You're a stupid sinner. You'll hear my voice echo in your mind because you would not turn to Jesus Christ to say, preacher, you've offended me. I'd rather offend you and you get saved than you leave out of here, me just puff you up in your, you know, I'm pretty good. I vote right. I came to see the sheriff today. And then I came in here and the preacher told me I was stupid. No. Can I just tell you, listen, more than anything, I have a God that I serve in heaven. And that same God, listen, he wants more than anything for you to be saved. And if I could give you this preacher's heart today, I'm not trying to get you to mount up in my church or to mount up on my band. I want you to mount up with Jesus Christ just like I did so long ago, because he is the only way to get to heaven. He's the winning side. He says here, he reminds us again that judgment's coming, and if we don't get on the right side, and he says to us in verse number 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? You know, the Bible says in the New Testament, how can they hear except someone preach, right? So let somebody speak it. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, you may be here today and you've never had any other opportunity. Nobody's ever been straight with you and told you that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and the only way that you can get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, can I tell you, it's the truth. This may be the first time you heard it, but do not delay. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and who you mount up with will count in eternity. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Folks, you know, we could try to spend all the time, and you could spend your entire life reading the Bible, and you say, I don't understand why God would send his son to die on Calvary and pay for my sin debt. You could search your entire life long, and you'd never find everything or come to a full understanding. But you know what? We are promised for those of us that mount up with him. You know, sometimes you ride with somebody and you don't understand every command. You don't always understand why the leader does it the way he does it or that. And listen, even in the Christian life as we ride, we don't always understand why God asks us to do it this way or God asks us to do it that way. But one day, he has promised us that when we finish this ride and we cross the swelling tide and we come home to be with him and we reach the other shore, he says that we're going to know him as we're known. Listen, we could search and search to understand all the things. How can one man's death pay for all man's sin? Well, let me ask you this. How can one man's sin thrust all of the world into sin? See, we could search it out, and you may not always understand it, but if the Bible says it, it's true. And judgment will come just the way the Bible says, but also just the way the Bible says salvation and mercy, eternal life, all that comes the exact same way. Folks, death came upon all mankind because of one man's sin. But the God-man came and paid for every man's sin. And he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, preacher, you're beating a dead horse. He ain't dead. He's alive. And he says in this life, look at what he tells the Christian, those that have joined over on his side. He says he doesn't faint. He doesn't weary. You can search him till you get to the end of the earth. My God never slumbers nor sleeps. He's awake and ready. He's not on some other time zone. You can't call on him at the wrong time. You may have showed up here today and say, "Will God hear my cry?" There's not ever been one sinner that's cried out for redemption or salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ that he didn't immediately hear and answer that prayer and save that sinner the moment that he called upon his name. And you don't, by the way, you don't start living eternally someday or become a cowboy after you learn how to. When you get saved, you're in his band just like that. You begin the process of mounting up. The word itself, I told you to begin with, means gradually increasing. And folks, I'm telling you, every Christian ought to begin with salvation and gradually increase in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength." That's what he did for me. I had no spiritual strength in myself. I was faint trying to find my way or worried and fearful of what would happen in eternity. But one day I heard that there was a God who never wearies, who never faints, who paid it all, and that I could call upon his name and that he would give me strength. Do you know the moment that I got saved? Listen, I don't know where you came from or what you believe, but there are people that believe that after you get saved, you got to keep it. That's false. You didn't do anything to get it, and you don't have to do anything to keep it. It's him. It's all God. The Bible says that, listen, if I get weary and I faint, I could do that in my mind. We can do that in body. We can do that in our faith, but listen, God, when we get saved, sends, he said, I have to go because I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter comes, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and seals us until the day of redemption. That means that Savior who died for us had not only a plan to pay your sin debt, but he had a plan to keep you saved until he comes back for his purchased possession. By the way, everybody that's in here that you say, "Well, I think we're going to go through the tribulation period." Listen, that spirit that lives inside of you, that power that God gave, it's going out with us. And the spirit of Antichrist cannot take over this earth until the Spirit of God leaves it. And he will not leave me comfortless. And he won't leave me here through the tribulation. So calculate all you want. Misinterpret Matthew 24, but put this in your pipe and smoke it. When God raptures us all out together and you want to stay for the mid-trib, I'll say, "I told you so." When we take off and mount up with wings as eagles. Look at what he says here. I want you to just see it. Even the use. You may be here and say, "I'll wait a while. I'm feeling pretty strong." You know, even as a youth, I realized that I didn't have power to save myself. Even the youth, in verse 30, shall faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Look at what it says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, spiritually speaking, I can't wait until the day that I have a brand new body. Because it don't take as long as it used to for me to run and be weary. You know, I've been on a pretty good walk. But my knees and my ankles and all the things. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm not a young man, but even the young man faints. Even the young man after a long walk will get weary. But one day, in a glorified body, one that won't wear out, one that won't get weary and won't get tired. But you know what I can do? Every day that I start to weary in the flesh, I think, you know, an eagle, if you've ever watched them soar, they don't look tired when they soar. Because they don't do a whole lot of this flapping business. You don't see them. I mean, when they're getting up and off the ground, they pump them wings. But most of the time when you watch an eagle, they just kind of soar. And they're not really doing all the work. They're letting the wind carry them where they need to go. Listen, and for the Christian, most of us need to mount up with wings as eagles. And to realize that because Jesus stretched out his hands and he paid it all and all to him I owe, that folks, all I have to do is trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When I get wearied and begin to faint in my mind, I need to trust in him. I need to stretch out in faith, mount up with wings as eagles, and put my faith in him. Rise above the circumstances of this life and spiritually understand that there's a day coming. He's coming back for me. You know, when the hardest days, and I don't know how you deal with the things that come in your life, but oftentimes I'm reminded in this nasty now and now that we live in, that Jesus is coming again. It's the blessed hope for those that are saved and mounted up with Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, in this life, when I weary and I begin to faint, I look up because I know my salvation is nearer than it's ever been. I realize that I don't have as long to go as I did yesterday. I take hope in the rapture of the church. You say, preacher, I don't have as far to go as you do. Well, take hope. All you got to do is watch the news and you realize it ain't going to be long. You say, you think we're going to make the election? I'd go ahead and early vote if I was you. Because everybody that ain't saved may be left behind with something they don't want. And either way, if you don't vote before we get taken out, they're going to put your name on the roll anyway. Today, mounting up with Jesus is so simple. He's the Savior. All you have to do to be saved is just simply put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. That means simply just putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. If you're here and you've never done that, today the invitation is for you. We would love for you to be a part of the great roundup that will be one day when Jesus returns. And what a shame it would be for one person to have come to church today and been a part of this service and just and all that God did in this place and miss a heavenly roundup that will be with Jesus Christ. It would be my greatest heartache to realize that you attended this church. You were welcomed by these people. You sat in these pews and you heard the preaching of the Word of God and you chose not to be saved. It would be the worst mistake you've ever made in all your life. If you're here and you're a Christian, maybe more than anything, what you're going through circumstances that are greater than you've ever faced. And what you need more than anything is to realize that those that wait upon the Lord. You know, waiting sometimes seems like one of the hardest things that we've ever done. To have patience and to see what the outcome will be. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. The Bible says those that wait upon the Lord shall, that's not might or could, but shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Shall is a promise from the Almighty. Now, it may not be the time that you want it or how you want it, but the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, well, I'd like to see it in this earthly body. I'd like to see it in my time and in my way. It may not come that way. It may come in a glorified body. But I know this, listen. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to wait upon the Lord. As a church, how do you wait on folks? I'm just going to sit here and wait on them. No, you look at the board, there's 135 visitors during the campaign. I don't know how you like it, but I like a good waiter or waitress to not sit down with me, but to wait on me. And God's left us with a work to do, to wait on him until he comes. Let's be about our Father's business. If we've mounted up with Jesus on the right side, let's do the things. Listen, even the preaching and those that invited you today is because we care about where you'll spend eternity. Do you care enough to hazard your pride and humble yourself and trust in Jesus Christ this morning? Courage is not the absence of fear. It's deciding to mount up anyway. And your job this morning as a lost person, and you're here and you don't know how, where you'll go, where you'll spend eternity, all you got to do is come in the invitation. Make your way to the front and say, I choose to get saved. I want someone to take the Bible and show me how I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be my home for a Bible reason. Let us do that today with heads bowed and eyes closed. We've invited you in every way we know how to be saved. If you're here and you're lost and on your way to hell, change that today. Decide, you say, well, I don't know, preacher. I would want to make sure. If you were on the Lord's side and you've mounted up with here, you'd know what band you're in. Don't leave here with a hope so salvation. Get it settled and know for sure that you're on the winning side. The musicians have taken their place. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help you be strong enough to step out and come. Have the courage to accept Him this morning. I pray that you will. Dear Lord, I pray for those that are here, Lord. I know that many have come this morning, but without a doubt, Lord, there's somebody in our midst that does not know Christ as Savior, needs to be saved. I pray you would give them the courage and the wherewithal to step out and to make their way to the front, to be saved and call upon the name of the Lord. I pray for Christians. Whatever they need to do this morning, I pray you'd help them do it. In Jesus' name, amen. As Brother Burke sings, would you stand to your feet and would you step out and come? John.